With your latest news, I'm Elizabeth Charles. Artificial intelligence is on everyone's radar, including the National Coalition for Caymanians Administration. As you heard right here on Radio Cayman on Monday, the government is actively working on creating artificial intelligence-related legislation. But in the meantime, the civil service has formally developed its first AI policy, version 1.0.
This policy establishes mandatory governance, risk management, transparency, accountability, and oversight requirements across the entire civil service. There are also specific efforts being made on the use of AI in areas of education and health, with teams doing deep dives into how AI applies to these subject areas.
Premier the Honorable Andre Ebanks told MPs in Parliament the policy is in its, quote, final stages of sign-off with the Deputy Governor's office and is expected to be deployed across the entire public sector.
Importantly, AI within the civil service is already subject to existing Cayman Islands legislation, including the Data Protection Act, the Freedom of Information Act, and the Procurement Act. It is also subject to the government's risk management framework, and AI does not operate outside these parameters. It operates within it.
He says the framework will ensure AI systems won't be used without, quote, coordinated review for cybersecurity, legal compliance, data protection, risk assessment, and architectural alignment. In other news, a new immigration ruling is changing how dual national applicants are scored for permanent residence. April Cummings reports.
HSM's immigration team says a recent Immigration Appeals Tribunal decision has clarified how Factor 8 of the permanent residence point system should work for people with dual nationality. In an update in March, the firm said Factor 8 awards are based on an applicant's country of origin. The tribunal reviewed a case where Workforce Opportunities and Residency Cayman treated a person with dual British and Irish nationality as British. That decision gave the applicants 5 points instead of the 10 that would apply if they'd been treated as if they were an Irish national. The applicant appealed and the tribunal quashed Work's decision. The tribunal said dual nationals should be assessed based on the least likely to impose detriment, which means the nationality that gives the higher Factor 8 score should be used. HSM calls the ruling a welcome clarification and says it should improve consistency for people applying for permanent residence in the Cayman Islands. April Cummings, Radio Cayman News.
The firm says that includes growing numbers of Nepalese and other dual national applicants. Finally, the Cayman Islands Agriculture Society has announced a meeting for all farmers and members tomorrow evening. In a notice circulated Monday, the society said the minister, chief officer, and senior officials from the Planning Department and Department of Environmental Health have confirmed their attendance. The meeting will be held on Wednesday, March 18th at 7 p.m. at the Agricultural Pavilion. The society apologized for the short notice, but encouraged members to make a special effort to attend this critical session. That's it for your local news. I'm Elizabeth Charles. Now over to BBC for the latest happenings around the globe.
BBC News with Eileen McHugh. The director of the US National Counterterrorism Center has announced his resignation, saying he could not, in good conscience, back the war in Iran. In a letter to President Trump, Joe Kent said Iran posed no imminent threat to the nation, and it was clear the US had started the war due to pressure from Israel. From Washington, Helena Humphrey has more.
Mr. Kent is the first senior Trump administration official to publicly and vocally resign over the war in Iran. He said that while he had backed President Trump's election campaigns, he was now calling on the president to reverse course and not repeat what he described as the mistake of the Iraq War, which he said had cost American lives. Joe Kent's wife, a Navy cryptologist, was killed in a suicide bombing in Syria in 2019. The White House has not yet commented on Mr. Kent's resignation.
Israel says it's killed Iran's national security chief, Ali Larijani, with an airstrike. The Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said his death gave the Iranian people a better chance of rising up and toppling the regime.
We are undermining this regime in the hope of giving the Iranian people an opportunity to remove it. This will not happen all at once, and it will not happen easily. But if we persist, we will give them an opportunity to take their fate into their own hands.
Mr. Netanyahu described Mr. Larijani as the boss of the Revolutionary Guards. There's been a response from Tehran to the claim of his death. The UAE says it has defended itself against 45 drones and 10 ballistic missiles so far today, as Iran maintains its attacks across the Gulf region. Falling debris killed a Pakistani national in the Emirati capital, Abu Dhabi, while the UAE's major energy hub in Fujairah was hit for a second day running. Colombia's president has said that bombing of the Colombian territory near the border with Ecuador has left 27 charred bodies. Gustavo Petro accused Ecuador of carrying out the attack. Ecuador's president called the allegation false, saying his forces were fighting narco-terrorism on Ecuadorian soil. Here's Ione Wells.
Ecuador's president Daniel Noboa, a close ally of Donald Trump, has defined his presidency with a tough crackdown on drug cartels. Neighbouring Colombia is the world's biggest producer of cocaine, and the majority of cocaine transits through Ecuador. This year, Ecuador and the US began joint counter-narcotic operations. President Noboa has accused his Colombian counterpart of not doing enough to tackle drug trafficking on the border and said they were bombing, with international cooperation, places used as hideouts for largely Colombian groups. President Petro said Colombia had evidence of a bomb in Colombian territory and said he had asked Donald Trump to take action because we don't want to go to war.
BBC News. Sources at the Forensic Medicine Department in the Afghan capital have told the BBC they've received more than 100 bodies following a Pakistani airstrike on Monday evening. It said some were injured beyond recognition. Both the Afghan government and the UN's assistance mission say the strike hit a drug rehabilitation centre on the site of a former US Army training compound. The Vatican Appeals Court has called for a retrial in the embezzlement case against a former advisor to the late Pope Francis. Cardinal Angelo Becciu, who was once considered a papal contender himself, was found guilty of financial crimes in 2023. He denied the charges, which also included abuse of office. The Mexican president, Claudia Sheinbaum, has said her country would have no problem hosting Iran's matches at this year's Men's Football World Cup, if required. It comes after the Iranian Football Federation said it was negotiating with FIFA to move its games from the United States due to safety concerns prompted by the war. Tributes are being paid to Shigeaki Mori, a prominent survivor of the US atomic bombing of a Japanese city of Hiroshima during the Second World War, following his death at the age of 88. Mr. Mori made global headlines in 2016 when he shared an emotional embrace with then-US President Barack Obama, as Tom Bailey reports.
The image of President Obama's arms wrapped around a tearful Shigeaki Mori became a defining moment of the first ever visit to Hiroshima by a sitting US president. As Mr. Obama met with survivors after delivering a speech focused on reconciliation, Mr. Mori appeared overwhelmed with emotion, prompting the two men to embrace. Just 8 years old when the bomb flattened the city in 1945, Mr. Mori dedicated much of his life to keeping alive the legacies of that day.
Tom Bailey reporting, BBC News.